Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mulletcast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Our guest today is Gaetano Sacco. Gaetano's a senior financial advisor with Fountainhead Advisors. Check out Fountainhead online at fountainhead-advisors.com. And you can follow Gaetano on Instagram at gaetanosacco.fa.
Thanks,
Maybe you should spell that for the people. So Gaetano is GAETANOSACCO.FA.
Thanks,
Maybe you should spell that for the people. So Gaetano is GAETANOSACCO.FA.
Yes, it wouldn't be the first time someone misspelled my name, right, including 5 seconds ago when we were getting started. It's all right, man.
That's cool. So what's going on, Gaetano?
Nothing much, man. I'm really happy to be here.
That's cool.
Been a long time that we've talked about this.
We have. It's been like years in the works.
Yeah.
And one reason is because you were making a move in your career.
Yes.
So we can get to that a little bit later.
Yeah,
but
sure.
The timing was right for your new career with Fountainhead, which is cool.
Yeah.
I thought of you this morning because I threw on my Astros jersey, and I know you're a Mets fan.
I'm a big Mets fan.
And I knew you could relate to this whole thing more than probably half the people in the world, because there was a time in my life, like, I thought, well, the Astros and Mets battled a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, they had, I want to say it was in the 80s, they set the record for the longest game ever, 23 innings or something.
So those were insane games. I remember, I think I was in high school and booking home after a soccer game and catching the end, and it was the 10th inning, and either Mike Scott or Nolan Ryan was still pitching for the Astros.
Yeah.
But the Mets got in. So I went through life thinking the Astros are never going to get to a World Series.
Okay.
And then coincidentally, my daughter's birthday was the 27th. We were in the hospital when she was born. It was their first trip to the World Series.
Wow.
So against the White Sox. So I think sort of the first night was they're inducing labor, so I didn't see any of the game, right?
Okay.
And the second night she was born, and we were all just cashed out because it was a long night day. So I saw little bits of the game in the hospital, and the Astros got swept in 4 against the White Sox. So
you're an Astros fan? Is that what that means?
Totally.
Since I was
a kid. Yeah.
Why? What did it for you?
So when I was a kid, I was a Nolan Ryan fan. I was and it was mostly through baseball cards. I was obsessed with different players.
Yeah.
Got really into Nolan Ryan. I think reading the back card, it was he's the fastest pitcher, threw a clock at 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And I was oh, this dude's badass. So
yeah,
started following him. 1980, my grandmother took me to a family reunion in Texas, and we went to the Astrodome. I saw a game at the Dome.
Oh, that's cool.
So that was cool.
Wait, so the iconic Mets pitcher, the flamethrower Nolan Ryan.
Right.
Made you like the Astros because of their idiotic mistake of trading him.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man. That's just another reminder
of
how I'm cursed.
Right?
As a Mets fan.
I know. So, I totally thought, all right, I'm never going to see this. I mean, it's hard to get to the World Series. You know what I mean?
Tickets, you mean?
No, just a team to get in.
Oh, a team. Yeah, totally.
I was man, I don't know if the Astros will ever get there. And then I don't know if they'll ever win.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you have those feelings some days. Am I ever going to see a Mets championship?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's been my entire life. 2015 I thought was our year, but you know how that ended.
Right.
But I'm rooting for you guys because I hate the Nationals.
Right.
And you guys became the underdogs really quick in this World Series.
It's crazy.
And now you're up 3-2. It's pretty cool.
I was ready to hang it up. I was man, something, we're just not hitting.
Yeah.
Our pitcher. And I was ready for some of these pitchers to have a breakdown. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, Gerrit Cole was dude, when you have that kind of streak, the odds are you're going to throw a dud soon.
Yeah, but he looks good.
Right.
He looks good. And Verlander is just, he's must-see TV.
Yeah.
You just got to watch him.
Yeah.
I saw his no-hitter a month ago.
Right.
My God, man. It was awesome.
Yeah.
He's a magician. He's just painting a picture of what it's like to be a great pitcher. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. It's amazing.
I have a good feeling about him tonight.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So were you into the Mets growing up?
Yeah, my dad.
Since a kid, yeah.
My dad, it's still kind of like the preferred thing to do when my parents visit is to watch some sports.
Right.
You know, actually my parents were up this weekend and like, you know,
so this was a big weekend for football families.
Yeah.
Penn State.
We were Penn State fans. Right. So, you know, I went to Penn State. So that was like our whole Saturday.
Right.
But if it was mid baseball season, I mean, you know, that's the great thing about baseball. It's every day.
Right.
Totally. So if my parents came up for 4 days, it's just 4 days of baseball with me and my dad.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the older I get, and I think this happens to Mets, Jets fans,
right.
The older you get, you stop, if you're smart,
mm-hmm.
you stop feeling a sense of like braggadocious pride, right. even when your team's really good.
Right.
Because it's happened. I've had some good teams. I've had good moments. I just don't brag about anything anymore.
Right.
Because even the, you know, my friends who are Yankee fans mm. that have had it all just served to them for the last 20 years,
right.
you know, great teams. They didn't do anything right. to make this happen. You can give them the credit for paying for tickets and helping fund the franchise. I mean,
sure.
I'm a season ticket holder for the Mets.
Right.
I deserve wins because I pay for it, you know? But the only reason why I'm paying for it is because it was like a birthright. It was
right.
a rite of passage. I was born in a geographic location.
Right.
By a person that was also born in a geographic location,
totally.
And he passed this curse down to me.
Right.
And
it's true. You know what? It's funny, man, because like I love half the reason, like for my whole life, I listened to WFAN.
Yeah.
And it's almost driven by Mets fans. Like,
it's just, crazy.
Just
isn't
listening
it?
To Mike and the Mad Dog, like the angst of Met fans is like pure entertaining.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. I mean, like, well, most of the actual show hosts are Met fans.
Right.
Which is funny, right? Yeah, I've always found that so funny because it must mean, well, it's just like anything. The mainstream news doesn't report about, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so graduated from college and donated money to this nice organization. Look at that great news.
Right.
They report that somebody was murdered and mm-hmm. died or something. You know,
right.
bad news is, you know, equates to ratings.
That's right.
So the Mets are perfect for
That's
WFAN.
True. That's true.
You know? It's crazy. True.
And then they have their perfect foil with Mad Dog, you know, like,
yeah.
who just soaked it in.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He loved it. So that's cool. All right. So you grew up a baseball fan. I saw you do a presentation at a networking group. And the thing that surprised me is you were also like a race car driver as a kid.
Yeah.
Into racing and like outdoor stuff. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So where'd that passion come from and where did it take you?
I feel like I should just give a shout out to our friends at NJ Business Networking.
That's
because
right.
I wouldn't know about the Mullet Cast, which is going on, what, it's 80, you said 82 episodes?
80 some. Yeah. I think maybe 82.
Congrats on that, man. That's awesome. You guys are doing a great job. But yeah, if it weren't for our networking group that meets in Asbury Park every Thursday morning, 7 a.m. sharp, I wouldn't be here. But yeah, the presentation you're talking about was a couple months ago, and that presentation was geared towards my personal life because mm-hmm. I was in the middle of transitioning to my new firm.
Right.
Auto racing was mm-hmm. a big part of my life. Probably, I want to say, you know, 8 years, I was a semi-pro race car driver.
Right.
I had some sponsorships. And
that's cool.
That was what I wanted to do for a living, man. That was like, shit. I was all in.
Right. Yeah.
I was all in. My dad, again, you know, my dad's kind of the inspiration for a lot of things. He went to college in South Florida.
Right.
During the 60s. So my dad's a little older. He's like an older dad for you know, people my age. Right. He was born the same year Forrest Gump was. Uh-huh. So if you're trying to like figure out like what was going on right. when he was growing up, just watch Forrest Gump. All right, it was cool. all the same stuff.
He's in the background of a lot of those events.
Yeah. yeah. No, but literally he was down in the South during like the introduction of segregation wow. of schools. And
that's what.
And he was a Catholic school boy from right. New Jersey, from Brooklyn actually, but then he grew up in New Jersey. And I say this because to paint the picture, like my dad's from Brooklyn, but when his family moved to North Jersey, that was considered moving to the sticks.
Right.
And he took up, you know, hunting, fishing. And when he moved down south, he got into drag racing.
Really?
Yeah. So he, you know, for the few people that might be listening to this show that actually, you know, follow auto racing or drag racing in particular. There's a guy by the name of Don Garlitz.
Big Daddy.
That's right, baby.
Yeah. So Don Garlitz is this like famous engineer for drag racing. My dad used to like get his car,
no way.
You know, worked on by this guy.
Wow.
So when we were growing up, he made us big Dale Earnhardt fans. That's and then, cool. When I was 11 years old, I got in my first race car at Pocono Raceway, and my brother and I, the first, I guess the first 5 years of racing, I won 4 track championships. My brother was better than me. He right. just never lost. He just won all the time.
Right. So what was kind of the series? What were you riding? Is that like a kart kind of series?
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're that young, you know, they put you in cars that go pretty fast. Sure. I mean, I hit at one point I was in a car that weighed like 150 pounds or something like that. And it was, you know, from nose to tail, maybe, you know, 5 or 6 feet long.
Right.
And I was going 80 miles per hour on asphalt, like a couple inches from the ground.
Right.
So the simulation, when you're on a small racetrack, that's mm-hmm. call it like a 10th or a 20th of a mile, mm-hmm. and you're going that fast,
right.
it feels like you're going 150, 160 miles per hour.
I'm sure.
And it translated. I actually, when I was 16, for my birthday, I got a ride in the passenger seat of a NASCAR like cup car around Pocono Raceway.
Oh, no way.
And they had this thing where they were like, you know, training everybody, and they were saying, you know, you're not going to be able to hear us. We can't hear you in the car. So if you want to go slower, right. just point down. And if you want to go faster, point up.
Right.
And the guy told us after, he was like, yeah, you know, he was telling my dad, he's like, your son just kept pointing up. But I kept saying, like, we can't go any faster.
Right.
Because it didn't feel any faster than anything that I had been driving, even though we were going that much faster, just on a bigger track.
Right. Because you were probably also, you're out in like more open air and like.
Yes.
So that's like even twice as intense.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. So I was in there. I was like, all right, this is cool. But like, I've seen this on TV. Like, let's move, bro. Yeah. You know?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because you see times like there's that new movie out where it's like about Ford, like going in to compete with Ferrari.
Oh, with Matt Damon.
Yeah, that looks sick. But like there's a scene where like they take the dude out in like this Cobra or whatever, and he's just like crying in the passenger seat.
Yes. Like, yeah. You know, yeah. Like, and you know, admittedly, when I got into the car,
right.
that's what you're worried about. You know, I'm a race car driver and I'm hopping in a big car, and it wasn't like just me. There were like 5 other people that were there that day, but those other five people were like, you know, in their 40s or older. They right. weren't race car drivers. So
right.
I saw them getting in and out of cars and they looked shook up.
Right.
Totally. And I was like, man, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. And then I got in there and I was like, this is nothing, man. Like, right. so that kind of validated at 16 that I, you know, kind of was meant for it.
Right.
So at age 17, I raced a NASCAR style car.
That's cool.
For a few races until I destroyed it.
Right.
And, you know, it's an expensive sport.
Totally.
You total one souped up race car, it's tough to just rebuild it. Yeah. So right. I decided to go to Penn State instead, which
that's cool.
I think was a good idea.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I imagine you have to have a lot of focus to drive what you were driving. Like, do you feel like that skill carried on for you in life, like when you went to school or later? Like,
you know, I would say that it's not necessarily a focus that got me, that I, you know, I didn't learn how to focus while I was racing,
right.
But I believe that the lessons that I learned about racing were, communication,
mm-hmm.
And practice really paying off and giving you an edge.
Right.
So, you know, when I say communication, I had a crew member. His name is Dean LePenter.
Mm-hmm.
It still is. He was kind of like a legend in that, class of race cars,
right.
In terms of building. And he also is a great driver. And he used to always say, I'm only as good as the driver communicating to me what's going on with the car, because if I'm going to be making adjustments to this car, the adjustments will translate to the car being faster and being better at handling, but only if the driver can communicate to me well what is going on.
Gotcha.
Where the car is tight. Is it tight going into the corner or exiting the corner? Is
right.
it loose coming into the corner or the middle of the corner? Is it not accelerating fast enough? Where is it not accelerating fast? Like that kind of thing.
Right.
And then my brother and I just thoroughly enjoyed racing, so we practiced more than I think everyone
right.
we were competing against.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I mean, maybe you learn to do what you love and follow.
Do
what you're passionate about.
Right? Well, I mean, when I went to college, I wasn't racing anymore, but I knew I wanted to, learn some new things. Mm-hmm. So I went to school actually for film production.
Oh, cool.
And that's what I got my degree in
nice.
Filmmaking.
Right.
But my freshman year, I got an acoustic guitar for Christmas, and I never even touched one before.
Right.
But I think I carried some of the racing mentality into that and said, all right, I just got to practice this thing.
Right.
So I set it right down next to my desk at college. You know, Penn State dorm rooms are small, literally two people lived in a room smaller than this podcast studio.
Right.
So I couldn't run away from the thing. I was typing on my computer doing homework, and every time I didn't want to do it anymore, I just pick up the guitar. And, a couple years later, I wound up being part of a cover band.
That's
and
cool.
A couple years after that, I toured in a original band around New Jersey, New York, and Long Island for
right.
a little bit, trying to make it,
right?
You know, tried to make it in a couple things.
And that's sweet. You played bass, right, in those bands?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That band actually is playing this Saturday.
Right.
So
you're in the Village.
Yeah.
Where are you?
The Red Lion.
Red Lion.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't been there in a while, but that's a good spot.
It's pretty cool.
So what was the name of your band? Who's the band that's playing this Saturday?
Country Club Drive.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
That's a good name.
I know, you know, it's
was it a place in Penn State?
No, it's a long, deep, and winding story
right.
that has to do partially with the fact that all five of us were we met in the same fraternity,
mm.
so we're all friends, and you know, probably the biggest group of fans we have are the guys that lived with us
right.
in that frat house.
Right.
But it's a lot of guys. I mean, we had a house of over 100 members.
That's
so
cool.
Between those people and the ancillary people outside of that.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
We, after we graduated, we wanted to play a show in the city. Again, we're all professionals in our own right. This
sure.
is just for fun.
Right.
But we played... we asked the Red Line if we could play, and they gave us a like Wednesday night show at 5 p.m.
Right.
We're like, come on,
right.
you know, like nobody wants to come see us then.
I got work, man. I can't get there at 5.
Yeah. But they said, look, if you draw a decent crowd, we'll give you a better slot.
That's cool.
And that night, I want to say there was like 500 people that
That's
showed
sweet.
Up.
Right.
We very thankful for the support we get from the Penn Staters. And,
totally. I was going to say, I mean, that's a great place to launch a band, you know?
Yeah.
So they give us... Following the travels.
They give us the Saturday 7 p.m. slot or 10 p.m. slot, whichever we prefer, basically whenever we want.
That's
it's just
cool.
We only ask like once a year,
right?
You know, once every 2 years sometimes.
That's cool. What time are you playing this Saturday?
7. Yeah,
nice. Sweet.
7 p.m.
All right, yeah. Cool.
Lots of 90s rock hits, bro.
That's cool, man. That's my wheelhouse.
Is it?
Yeah, I drive around listening to Lithium on Sirius, which is like straight up 90s all the time.
That's my favorite. Yeah. Sirius XM
it's
station.
A really good period of music, I feel like.
Underrated.
Anything you like playing in particular, like some songs you like busting out?
I like playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers because right. I'm a bass player. Yeah,
they you probably know. Have the yeah some
this
of the
guy's clapping
bass chops probably of right.
Yeah, I've seen them a couple times too, pretty close.
That's cool.
They're insane. Have you ever seen them?
I have not. Nope.
When was the last band you saw?
The last band I saw was very recent. Who did I see last? I mean, some local Asbury shows.
You're all over the local Asbury scene,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's so many good musicians right
I know.
Now in Asbury. It's insane.
How about Tyler Vliet?
Tyler's a badass.
Yeah.
He played at our Mullet Fest. That kid's, he's one of those dudes that's just transformational guitarist.
Like, I think so, too.
He's an artist. I watch that dude. Just close his eyes. He's transported to a different friggin' place.
I know.
And speaking through the guitar.
I know.
It's like intense.
I saw him at the Mullet Cast reunion
right.
with the Dead Ramblers.
Yep.
And I'm not kidding. After I saw them, I was telling people they're the next Greta Van Fleet, man. Mm. I was running around saying, this band's going places. And then a couple of weeks later, I was messaging him and he's like, bro, starting my own thing. I was like, right. Okay. Well, you know, I mean, if that's going to get him noticed,
yeah.
I'm all for it. Cause right. I mean, I thought they were all really good,
but
I like his new single too.
Yeah. New single's cool. So another like little shameless plug is I'm hosting a Realtors Continuing Ed class at House of Independence on November 5th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we got Tyler's going to play afterwards for the Realtors.
Like, I'll be there.
A little private happy hour.
When is it?
November 5th. He
okay.
was on about 5 p.m.
That's a Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's next. Oh, wow. It's next Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
So any realtors out there, shoot me a message. We'll get you in as well.
Shameless plug, man.
Totally.
Plug it.
He's killer. So, yeah, I've seen a lot of Asbury bands. I went to See Here Now this summer, which was killer.
Yeah, that was
saw
good.
Tons of good musicians at that new, you know. Really
right. That's his second
cool
year, right?
Yeah.
I didn't even take it seriously the first year.
Right.
I saw posters and stuff and I was like whatever,
right?
But the only reason why I wasn't there this year was because we had a wedding,
right.
My wife and I, Talia, we were at a wedding and
right.
the pictures and the Instagram stories
right.
were like, oh my God, I'm going next year.
Yeah, it's
definitely.
One of the best run festivals around. It's
yeah
cool. Yeah, so well done and really great music. It's cool.
Awesome.
All right. So, you know, you get out as a film major and bass player and you tour around. How do you wind up in financial planning?
Yeah. Isn't that nuts?
Right.
So look, I think it comes down to, when my second band started to dismember itself.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, dismemberment wasn't because we, you know,
you weren't
slept
like a
with
hardcore
each other's
band.
Girlfriends or something. Yeah, like we know we
literally
were,
dismembering.
No, we're all very good friends.
Right.
We we love each other. What wound up happening was a couple of us had to go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's not a paying gig being
sure.
in a struggling rock band. So, as everybody started to kind of do their own things, I was looking for work experience and my interest in the film industry kind of just went away.
Mm.
I had an appetite for it during college, but then I think when music started to take over my, you know, that part of my brain, I was kind of like, you know, there's only room for one creative passion. If I'm going to be doing it full time.
Right.
And then it was music. And then when music started to kind of go away and I'm not a good enough bass player on my own to be a solo act.
Right.
Have you heard of a solo act bass player anyway?
Yeah.
You know,
there's
so.
Like one movie on Netflix about a bass player. I can't remember the dude's name, but yeah, you don't hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. So one of the singers of our band actually recommended that I interview at his company, which was MetLife.
Right.
Because at the time I was also booking all of our band's shows too. Mm-hmm. So I was just, I was always the front person talking to the promoter, right. the club, the bar, whatever it was. And a lot of it was just walking in and out of businesses and saying, hey, like, you gotta hear my band, man. Right. It's awesome.
That's cool.
And he was like, yeah, you know, you're a people person. I think you might like this. Just give it a try. Worst case scenario, you get some interview experience or whatever.
Right.
So I wound up starting as a financial services representative at MetLife. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for the first 6 months, I was struggling mightily, but there were just enough things that told me this might be something that you could do for a living, mm-hmm. and that you might be able to do it good. And there were a couple of attractive things about it, because even what a lot of people don't realize is that whether you're an independent financial advisor like I am now at Fountainhead Advisors,
right.
or you're an employee for a large firm, mm-hmm. You're still practicing independence in a lot of ways, because you're responsible only for yourself. And, you know, typically you're only compensated on the business that you are producing with your clients. So before, you know, after a few years of being, you know, struggling financial advisor, as things start to get better, mm-hmm. and you learn more, you realize, oh, I'm running a business.
Right.
Before you knew it, I was paying one staff member to kind of help me out on odds and ends. And then I partnered up with another advisor named Mark Reddington. And he wound up being a mentor for me for 8 years.
Wow.
And he and I employed a couple of people,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, had a team of, you know, we called it a team. Other people could just call it simply a business,
right.
because we had a payroll. We were matching 401k. We had medical benefits we were paying for our employees for.
Right.
And it all started with me, you know, interviewing at MetLife because somebody told me I might be good at it. I
right.
had no idea what I was even getting into.
Right.
But, you know, it was really an 18-month struggle before I realized, you know what, this is the right thing for me. And it was especially attractive because of things like, you know, flexibility, control of my schedule. And then finally, you know, there was a significant sense of gratitude because I was helping a lot of people.
Right.
And, you know, as I've gotten more and more experienced, I look back at my younger self and I wish that I knew the things that I know now.
Sure.
Because I could help people even more back then. But
right.
thankfully, most of the clients that have started working with me 10 years ago
mm-hmm.
are still my clients now. So they've watched the evolution of, you know, me going from just a, you know, MetLife guy to, you know, now I'm a certified retirement income planner
right.
at Fountainhead Advisors. And yeah, it's nice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
People should check out like your full bio at fountainhead-advisors.com. In there, one thing I thought was cool is that you mentioned that you have an intentional focus on listening. And to me, like I totally...
That's surprising because I talk so damn much, right?
No,
how
but,
could that be?
Right. But I totally relate to that because I try to... You know, attorneys have a reputation of talking, right, also.
Sure.
And, you know, being... A lot of them forceful, loud with their opinions, all this
yeah.
BS, right? But to me, you said exactly what I agree with. You can't help anyone until you listen to what they want, what
right.
they need, what their, you know, dreams
yeah.
are, all of those kind of things.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important for a financial advisor also to, you know, because you could come out of the gate with like, here's what you should do, blah, 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 you know?
Yeah.
But if you don't listen to people first, how can you really help them?
That, I mean... I think you hit the nail on the head because I don't think that if I look back at my career and I can point at a moment when, you know, I was a 24-year-old struggling fifth floor walk up Hoboken apartment guy
right.
to feeling comfortable and, you know, and things going the way that we all want them to be, just having a financially free lifestyle.
Right.
it was when I stopped talking as much in my meetings.
Wow.
And I can't pinpoint when I realized that would be the, you know, that would change everything. But right. I mean, if you go into a conversation and you think you know what's best for somebody before you even know who they are,
right?
I think you're just doing it wrong. So yeah, I mean, most of my client interactions start with, I would say, my first meeting with somebody, I am doing a lot of talking because I want, most of the time, they're in a weird way interviewing me, mm-hmm. because they're like, hey, you know, what does it cost to do business with you? What does a financial advisor even do? I've right. read a lot of things on Google, but can I trust Google? You know, tell me about this. So
right.
that first meeting, I'm really trying to communicate as much info about working with me so that there's just a feeling of transparency right off the bat.
Right.
Costs, fees, all that stuff mm-hmm. are right up front. And then, you know, meeting two, if somebody decides to move forward and become a client and engage in the financial planning process, it's right. just all about me taking notes, trying to hear what they are looking to get out of this. I typically will ask people, you know, on actually the first meeting, this is, you know, we have an hour or an hour and a half together today. What can we do that can make the time that we're spending together the most valuable to you?
Mm-hmm.
And the response normally in one sentence can help it, that little moment of listening can help a lot because right. they tell you, you know, people tell you what they want, you know, no one's shy, especially to financial advisors. Mm-hmm. You know, it's miraculous the kind of information people will indulge when they get to the point where they feel like they need help mm-hmm. and their, you know, personal finances are an extremely intimate discussion.
Sure.
You know, it amazes me the things that we still are teaching children in school, but somehow not making it a requirement to have basic finance in curriculums.
Right.
You know, I mean, things literally like budgeting right. or, you know, the basics of...
What is compound interest?
Right, right. Or, you know what would be nice? I think a college course just explaining, just prepping everybody for the first paycheck they get out of school
right.
and what every single deduction in their paycheck is for.
Right.
Because, you know, you remember the first time that happened to you? Yeah. You were like, wait a minute, I thought my salary was X.
Right.
That's not my salary. Right. But it's not just taxes. There's a lot of other stuff. Yeah. A lot of it's valuable. You just, you know, it just needs education.
Right. That's true. So, I mean, I don't want to gloss over the importance of financial advisors, but we're like tight on time.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I definitely recommend people go check out your website and get more info. And then what's the best way people reach out to you? That want to have a conversation.
You know what? I would say, you know, shooting me an email is probably the first line of defense. Right. Unfortunately, I'm like everybody else, and when I see a strange phone number coming in, I think that it's either spam or like a right. terrorist organization trying to steal my accounts.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so it's like, all right, I'm not picking up. But if you email me at Gaetano@fountainhead-advisors.com.
Right.
That's Gaetano@fountainhead-advisors.com. That would work.
You'll get back to people.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what I do want to know in closing is, because this is the Mullet Cast, it's about business and pleasure
yeah.
and all of that. And
yeah.
to me, just as an outside observer, you do a good job of incorporating pleasure into your everyday life, right? You travel.
So.
You
yeah.
travel a lot. You do some cool things.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, what's your secret for incorporating like pleasure and creativity into the work grind kind of thing?
Okay. So, that's an awesome question. I think that if you are in a significant relationship,
mm-hmm.
that the first thing is to make sure that you marry somebody that likes to do a lot of the same stuff you do.
Right.
Because I mean, I travel with my wife because
right.
we both like traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I eat delicious things because she likes to eat delicious things, you know? So we try food out. Music is a passion of mine. Yeah. It just so happens that Talia and her family are the biggest music fans I've ever met. I mean, we go to concerts like once a month with her family.
That's cool.
So I think number one is make sure that your passions are shared with the person you're going to be spending most of your time with.
That's a good one.
And the second thing is really working hard Monday through Friday so that you don't feel any sense of guilt, you know, being leisurely on the weekends, right, or even taking a, you know, I mean, I take a lot of Fridays off, mm-hmm, or half days, but I rationalize it in my own little brain,
right,
because I'll just count up the hours that I spent Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and I'm like, I just worked like 55 hours, right, those days, and I'm probably going to work a little bit when I wake up Saturday morning and Sunday morning, so I could take off Friday to do X activity. Sure. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's, I would say that's it. I mean, you know, I don't have kids yet though.
Right.
So if that becomes a reality, oh, so, man, I don't know what I'm going
to
do.
Your part three is just like you need to align what you enjoy doing with your significant other that you spend a lot of time with.
Yeah.
You quickly have to align what you're doing with your kids, what they like to do.
Yeah, so right? I'm gonna force the Mets, the Jets, right, the Red Hot Chili Peppers, like all of those things onto my child.
That's beautiful.
Because, again, you know, that's what my dad did to me.
Right. Sweet. So I think you got a chance. So.
Yeah, I think I got a chance.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. Gaetano, thanks for coming in.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate the time.
No problem. Go out and check out, is it Country Club Drive?
Yeah, Country Club Drive.
This weekend, Saturday, at the Red Lion in the Village, Bleecker Street, right?
Yeah, Bleecker Street, man, where it all started. It
totally is. That's a sweet place. Check out Gaetano online at fountainhead-advisors.com, on Instagram at gaetanosacco.fa. Gaetano, thanks, man.
Thanks again.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.